Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Was Bill Belichick judged too harshly, too quickly last year?
By whom?
By the media and social media people. Is because I felt like you heard time and time again, well, clearly Tom Brady was better, or people were asking, like, did Bill Belichick win strictly because of Tom Brady and blah, 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 which is absurd because always Tom Brady was going to get out to a faster and better start than Bill Belichick because Bill Belichick lost his quarterback. Tom Brady got to pick where he wanted to go. So he was always going to get to the faster start. Now, winning a Super Bowl is clearly astonishing, but are you starting to see that, oh, hey, maybe they were both just awesome, and putting them awesomeness together made super awesomeness?
Wait, you just said TB12 is awesome?
That's what I heard.
He did. I thought this was going to be a bashing Brady segment. I saw this on the rim chamber.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Not a bashing of look.
I've bashed too many.
I'm not going to say that. I bashed too many things today, but I will say he is a great football
player. Like your wife
player.
Who asked you to marry her at one point, and you said sorry. No,
she knew me well enough to know that not to ask.
Yeah, man, this is, you know, Tom Brady got to pick a very talented roster, and did they add more talent to it? Yes, of course they did. You know, Leonard Fournette. Actually, I'm happy to watch what he's doing right now. You know, just the production he's giving them is really fun because we all liked watching Leonard Fournette at LSU. And we were like, man, can that dude be one of those, you know, elite running backs? And then, you know, playing in Jacksonville really wore him out.
That's why I told Trevor Lawrence to never play another game for them again. You guys disagreed.
You did, didn't you?
And then so he goes to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. You know, he has a couple of different, he has a good offensive line. They grow there. He has a really talented defense. And their head coach gave him the freedoms to say, you do it, Tom. You go do your thing. I'm not going to get in the way. I'm going to, you know, we'll plan, we'll do our things together, but I'm not going to put reins on you. You're freaking Tom Brady. And so, like, of course, yeah, he had the opportunity to, if he'd have gone to another roster, if he'd gone to Jacksonville, do you think that Tom Brady would have won a Super Bowl
in
Jacksonville?
No.
And so that's why Tom Brady was smart in his approach to go do what he did.
He did go to a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 12 or 13 years.
You're absolutely correct.
He didn't Kevin Durant it either.
I think, Reggie, we were talking about this at first. The culture in Tampa wasn't a problem, but they did need to know how to win. I think, and I don't know that Jameis knew how to win with that group,
right?
But yeah, I think that, you know, Belichick decided this offseason, well, okay, Tom did it. Now I gotta go prove him that I can do it better. How ridiculous would it be, you know, because he goes out and spends money. They spent some money in the offseason, which they don't typically do. But he said there have been times with young Tom Brady, I have to build a different style of roster, and so they invested in tight ends. They got strong up the middle, and they have some talent there. But more importantly, they have a rookie quarterback. And I think, Mike, that's where we kind of keep getting into this. It's never happened before. And Tom Brady leaving to go win a championship with that team, Bill Belichick's going, yeah, well, watch me win with a rookie freaking quarterback.
Is that what it has to be? Or does it, like, you win the division and you're in the AFC championship game. Is that enough to make people be like, oh, damn. All right. Well, I guess maybe they both were awesome. Or does
I have them as both the greatest of all time.
Okay.
Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I know everybody can have a different opinion. And Bill Belichick is the greatest NFL coach of all time.
Okay. So let me ask you about that part. Because what we were talking about, you know, obviously off air as well, is that a lot of people started to try to diminish the legacy of contributions of Bill Belichick because Tom Brady.
I think
that doesn't make sense.
I think it did help Tom Brady that he went to another place that wasn't in the Super Bowl the year before or championship games, and he won a championship immediately. That like solidified that like he is the greatest of all time. And I think if Bill Belichick, I already think he is, but if Belichick over the next 5 years, let's say, wins a championship, another championship with a different quarterback.
Yeah.
That even to me cements it even more that maybe if you're, a Vince Lombardi fan or a Walsh fan for the 49ers, like whoever you are a fan of that says, no, he's the greatest coach of all time. Like, I think if he were to win one with Mac Jones, then I think you'd say, yeah, he did it with arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And now he's doing it with a different quarterback. And that would do it. I wonder this. I'm going to throw this into a Mac Jones conversation.
Okay.
I wonder if Bill Belichick, if they would have had a worse year, and let's just say they had the third pick in the draft. So let's just say that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are gone. Would he have taken Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones? Because that's where the debate of Mac Jones came, right? Is the 49ers pick. We had heard that he might be going as the third overall pick. I wonder if the quarterback he wanted all along, I won't put him in the Trevor Lawrence category, but the quarterback after the number one pick, did he get the quarterback he wanted all along? Or if he would have had the third pick, let's just say Zach Wilson gets taken second, would he have taken Mac Jones over Trey Lance and Fields?
It is a good question. I think I lean towards Mac Jones because I just kind of, and I could be off base about this, but I envision him as a guy who's like, no, here's the type of quarterback I want. Yes. I'll make the rest of it work versus like, oh, he's the best like quarterback across the board. He's like, here's what I'm looking to do. That guy can best implement what I'm looking to do.
Okay.
I do wonder if the season with Cam Newton like made him like even we use the word cemented already, but cemented his ideals a little more of, I don't really love the running quarterback as much
like
as
Trey
I love
Lance
all
would
these,
have been like,
yeah,
I'm
all
not
these
sure.
other things that I'm asking the quarterback to do. I don't necessarily need him to do that because I can handle planning and preparing him for a lifestyle without that. But I did. Is it good looking? Is one of the things that Bill Belichick thinks a quarterback needs to be? And like you,
so those child modeling things that really helped him out.
And go look at all the quarterbacks that have kind of run through there. They've all been very handsome men. So that's kind of weird. I'm
what
not saying
weird
that.
Weird take
told
on
that. Well, look at the list.
Was Matt Cassel handsome? I have to.
In his own right, he's a handsome man.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo, is he not the handsomest quarterback in the NFL?
So I know Corey sold on New England going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Are you sold right now on New England going deep in the playoffs?
See, that's tough because does deep only mean the AFC championship game? Because if it does, then no. If the divisional round, then yes, because they might well just get the bye. Yeah.
Or get a bye.
Okay. Yeah.
Will they win a playoff game? How about that? Because that's a tough question.
I'm not sold on that.
There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind they win a playoff game. And more likely they're going to have a home game.
Yes, I do agree with that.
That factor itself is reason number one. The other thing too is I think that they are built defensively to compete with anybody, and so there's no doubt in my mind that they can win a playoff game.
Okay.
Do you think then? Because we talked a lot about the Bills' defense. The Bills' defense is constructed to play with anybody because clearly that game was a slog through the olden times. But both defenses looked good, despite we'll get to some media disrespect in a second.
Do I believe in the Bills' defense then?
Yeah.
I'm worried about their offense. They can't run the ball.
They haven't been a good offense ever since the Kansas City game. Man. I think you said that earlier, and if you go look at their schedule.
They hate their run game.
The Bills, to
what
me.
Run game? Exactly.
Yeah, they have a horrible run game. Their quarterback isn't as good as last year to me, and just watching him, he's not nearly what he was before that year. Like, he's a good quarterback, but
he's not repeating what he was able to accomplish last year. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I think it has a little bit to do with the running game.
Yeah, and I just don't believe the Bills are going to make a playoff run like they did last year.
Now,
they can, but I don't think they will.
There was a thing that happened after the Bills game. Is a reporter, so obviously we talked about it. Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times. It was crazy. We haven't seen anything like that in an NFL game since 1978 in terms of percentage of run plays. And that's I didn't make that up as an old-timey number. Like, it's legitimately since 1978. So the Patriots, 46 carries, 222 yards. So a reporter,
Jerry Sullivan,
who's covered the Bills for 31 years, he described the historic nature of the New England Patriots running attack and then asked Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, is this embarrassing?
Over 40 years since the season has won a game running, step 2 times in a game, passing it 2 times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of question?
Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you about calling it so. Right. I'm asking.
Keep that.
7 points?
Yeah,
14 to 10.
14 to 10? Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple of runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
This goes back. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that.
In my day, players answer that kind of question.
Oh.
What did he say?
The last thing he said, in my day, I mean, isn't your day still now? Like, I don't know. But he said, in my day, players would answer those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Was that a former player?
No, he's been a long time reporter for a long time.
Yeah.
Man, what kind of self-serving question was that? You know, like, are you embarrassed by
your
effort out
there? Who would ask a
there?
Team employee if they're embarrassed?
That is ridiculous.
Who would do that?
Yeah.
Surely we have that audio somewhere, don't we?
No, I've mended the fence with Jerry on that. So,
I mean, I still want to hear it again.
I still, here's the thing, though. I think it's a fair question.
Like, I mean, he did follow up by saying it's a question.
I think it's, which
is my favorite part.
But I think it's a fair question in that, like, you're going through human emotions and embarrassment. It's okay to say that you're embarrassed by something, but I think the biggest problem for people to admit embarrassment is I failed, and that's their biggest problem is trying to admit that they whatever was supposed to happen, they didn't accomplish it.
Okay. Do you think...
And by the way, at the end of that season, the coach was removed. So, you know, just saying.
Do you think from that perspective then that the Bills should have been embarrassed or that they failed? Like, you knew early on...
Should have been embarrassed after losing to Jacksonville the way they did.
That is very fair. That's what I think would have been a great answer. I'm far more embarrassed by losing to Jacksonville than I am tonight. Like, I think that everyone would be like, The Patriots ran 46 times for 222 yards, 4.8 per carry. Now, if, this is a big if, and I understand sports don't work like this, but if you took out the Damian Harris run, it was 45 carries at an average of 3.5 yards per carry. So outside of that carry, which was bad and clearly helped tilt the game, their run defense was fine. But some people are saying, yeah, but you knew they were going to run the ball every single time. Shouldn't you have been able to do better to stop it?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought they should have done better. Watching that game, obviously I lost $20 to Kavanaugh. I was like, you know what they're doing. Like, you don't know exactly where they're running, but you know they're running. And when it seemed like New England knew when they ran less, but when they kind of knew that they were running, they couldn't run.
Yeah.
I thought Buffalo disappointed me in that. It just looks like Buffalo, as the season has progressed, has gotten worse, and I couldn't pick them right now to win a playoff game. If they make the playoffs, I just don't think I'll predict them to win a playoff game the way they're playing.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's going to get hurt one of these times. He's going to get hurt because he does not give his body up. He's going to have an accident the way Dak had one, or the way we've seen whoever it is. I get Robert Griffin was fragile, but he's going to have an accident the way he plays this game.
Or, if anything else, his body is just going to be like, hey,
I don't like what you're doing to me, so I can't do the things you want me to do anymore. I can't look at them. I think I'm with Mike. Even if they play a home game, I can't say Buffalo would win because they just lost at home and their weather's ridiculous. Mickey was telling us this morning, put a freaking dome on that thing. Like, don't you have a good argument now? Buffalo's in a really weird place right now. But Kevin, I saw Shereen Williams mention this last night. Everybody's going nuts about Mac Jones right now.
Yeah.
Didn't Dak Prescott have a pretty damn good rookie season?
And
they went 13-3.
Dak Prescott had the best statistical rookie quarterback season in the history of the NFL.
And still didn't win.
Well, and that's what I think the tough part was as a Cowboy fan. I was like, no, he'll overcome this because how great the Cowboys are and Dak really had very little to do with the Cowboys losing that game. You getting down 21-0 was tough, but I mean, you bring him back, you tie the game late, but still, it ended up freaking like rookie quarterbacks. I just remember all those stats. I can't remember them all, but I just remember going into that, all the national people going, rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs just seem to struggle. He didn't, but they still ended up losing.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, might potentially call an audible. Would you guys be interested in secondhand gossip and speculation that the top-rated quarterback ever is going somewhere where he will perpetually underachieve?
I love secondhand gossip.
All right, get ready, Austin. We're coming for you next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit of college sports happenings, specifically down there in Austin way, because Mike, Quinn Ewers was supposedly in Lubbock on Sunday. Now the buzz is that he is going to end up underachieving with the Texas Longhorns.
What do you mean, dude? You didn't have to do that. Playing football.
Oh, playing football. There you go. And historically likely underachieving.
That's where he first wanted to go to, right?
Oh, no, that's where he first committed to. So just here's the timeline.
What a weird.
He committed to Texas, decommitted. Committed to Ohio State, and eventually ended up there after he decommitted for actually playing from his high school team, South Lake Carroll. So now he's back to Texas yet again. So it feels very like Tate Martell-ish, who was with A&M, and I was like, I'm going to go to all these other schools, but I didn't end up, it didn't really work out at any of these other schools, so we'll see how it goes. So we'll see how it goes, but...
I've watched him play. I've watched him play twice.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Against Duncanville.
Okay.
He looks great.
He does look great.
He looks like all the stuff that you'd want a prospect to look like, he looks like.
You won't find better finesse on a pass from a high school quarterback
anywhere. He sees it all. He gets the game.
Yeah, he looks.
He has all the physical tools.
He's not a runner. As in, I would put his athletic ability around Mac Jones.
Okay.
Like, if I were to say, like, when he has to take off and run, I would guess watching Mac Jones in college, probably like, hey, he can, but, like, you're not threatened at all by Quinn Ewers running for 25 yards out of the pocket. Like, he has none of that ability. He's athletic enough to move around in the pocket, to maybe escape the pocket and get you a few more seconds to throw the ball. But he can't really run.
Can you, Mac Jones did it. Can you play the college game without being able to run right now?
I think so.
Okay, because Mac Jones did it, but Alabama's different, right? They have all the best offensive linemen. They have all the best everything. It just seems like in the college game, because you're lacking maybe a couple offensive linemen because you had to have a scholarship for that cornerback, then you're going to have to be able to do, that's how they grow it is if you can run, it makes it easier on us.
You just touched on an aspect of this that I'm a little unsure of. It's like what we talked about with Tua is Southlake lost their quarterback and they just steamrolled Allen and they're in the state semifinals. So don't discount how much amazing talent is on that team to begin with. And now
anybody will be happy to get, I'm pretty sure the Southlake running back is a junior. I haven't watched him play at all this year. I'm going to watch him play Duncanville Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Duncanville. Obviously that's where I'm from, but that they have a white running back because all their kids at Southlake are white. He can play. What? Like it's rare to like what? Get, a running back, I know of that, right? I mean, the Plano kid you guys know, very good. Rex Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead, yeah.
Who went to Nebraska. Like, this kid is like Rex Burkhead. Like, that's how good their running back is at Southlake. So I don't know this. without watching them, Kevin?
Yeah.
Have they just fed the ball to this kid who's like a, to me, a five-star running back?
He's definitely been putting the work in. Okay. So, but here's the aspect. Somebody asked this on the 817. Why did he leave Ohio State? And you just saw a quote from, or a source from, the Ohio State coach that said they were blindsided by him leaving. Now, here's where it all comes together, and you just worry about, like, is it going to be worth all the to-do? Because if it is, it'll hit huge. Is he left high school early because the NIL money was on the table. Totally get that. Got, at the time, I think,
about $2 million?
Yeah, I'd heard 1.4, okay. But either way, it's a lot. And now, OrangeBloods.com is reporting that there is a legitimate chance that first-round draft pick-type money is available for him in the NIL spectrum if he goes to Texas.
Okay. And before we get there, it was reported that his NIL deal previously was incumbent upon him playing or starting. So there was rumors. I'm going to say that it was rumors because I don't recall the exact reporting. But that he went and asked Ohio State to promise that he would start next season, and that's where maybe some of the breakdown happened.
Yeah. There. So, I mean, I guess the question comes up.
I'm 99% sure he wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you go somewhere with the track record of people that they've got there, and you're like, what do you mean I'm not going to start right away? Like, I would have wondered why you didn't ask these questions to begin with, but now it's looking like some people say it's a done deal that he's going to Texas.
Okay.
Other people are saying they're just a heavy favor, right?
I want to get back into in a few minutes and get back into the Tech and Texas thing, but I'm still trying to understand this part of it. I asked you this yesterday, I believe, from the 817. Does he have to pay back that money if he leaves Ohio State? That wasn't money from Ohio State.
Correct.
It was it sounds like it was money from a business that said, no matter where you are, we want you to represent us.
And it sounds like if it was contingent on him starting, then that would still be up for grabs, which could determine his decision-making process, and there would be nothing that he would have to pay back.
Are you starting to already see NIL screwing things over in college sports?
Look, you always knew that this was going to happen from the 469. It's not contingent on starting. That's actually illegal under NIL rules. That's a neat thing to say. But that's like, I hear you. And we always say technically correct is the best kind of correct. But bull crap. The hell those things aren't negotiated into these terms. How you get that money back if you don't live up to those terms, I'm really not sure. But I think the concern always was, and you knew the second this was going to happen, is, okay, let's just take Texas Tech versus Tech. Or excuse me, versus Texas.
Versus Texas Tech, yeah.
Texas Tech cannot compete.
No, not at all.
If it's in the
facilities, everything.
And the NIL space. Because Texas Tech is not a major brand. Look,
right.
I love Texas A&M. But compared to the Texas brand, it ain't it. Like, I love Texas A&M, but they do not compare to the Texas brand.
So it just makes everything even more difficult for the smaller brands to compete with the bigger ones.
I think that's very fair, because you're looking at it is Ohio State can compete, and I get that. And, like, maybe we're finding out that USC, Oklahoma, whatever it is, can compete. But how many teams can legitimately compete with brand familiarity that Texas has?
I'm surprised USC wasn't a consideration, because that seems to be the Oklahoma coach,
Lincoln Riley.
That seems to be what he did great. Got Baker Mayfield, got Kyler Murray, right? And turned those guys into number one overall picks. I would think if I was his father, I'd say, hey, let's just make sure Lincoln Riley doesn't have somebody he already has at USC, because he's kind of taken that five-star guy that it didn't work out at Tech. And I know Baker Mayfield wasn't five-star, but Kyler Murray was, and it didn't work out at A&M, and then he exploded, and he's had two number one overall picks. Like, to me, I would be looking at USC over Texas, over Texas Tech, over Texas A&M is a unique position, because I think Jimbo Fisher is a great coach and can take you to that number one pick status. He did it with Jameis Winston.
Yes.
So I'm just surprised that Texas, I get the brand, but the brand is losing too. I'm not against UT. I hope Quinn Ewers does great, that they become a top 10 team in the country again. But everything that's happened at UT has been a failure for over a decade.
Yes.
And I just would be worried about going there and it just not working out.
Yeah, especially with how like much they flip on their coaching situation. But I guess that is the isn't it the ease of, you know, you can quickly turn things around in a program because you're not committed to contracts the same way. And like if you get one recruit, you know, that could lead to a couple more recruits that could really change things over a 3-year span. So maybe that would be something that would work out for Sark. I'm just sad for the Tech people who now have lost Beard and now they might lose Quinn Ewers before they even get him. I'm like, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I mean, I'm not, I just want Texas Tech to get back to the Mike Leach, Spike Dykes.
You just want fun.
Fun, and then you're somewhere between 15 and 25. At the end of the year, I think a realistic goal for Texas Tech is that you win 8 games. A great year, you win 10. That's rare, but you're winning 8 to 9 games. That's realistic for Texas Tech. 8-4, 9-3.
I think you have a coach
somewhere
that can do that.
Between 15 and 25. Maybe you get the lucky year with Crabtree. I forget who the quarterback was at that time, but. Where you had a chance maybe to get lucky enough to be a top five
team. Graham
Harrell
at the time?
I always go back to, and you know, like what you saw, what you experienced always goes into your opinions, or a lot of times it does, is I saw Jackson Jeffcoat play in high school. He was the number one recruit in the country, and he went to Texas and underachieved. I don't know what the issues were. He didn't develop, and he never even made – I mean, I know he was there for half a second.
Right.
But he didn't make it into the NFL. His draft stock plummeted from the number one player in the country, and I just worry about those levels of developments for some of these kids. But I also get, like, we live in the real world. Money's a big issue. Guaranteed starting time is a big issue. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be blind to any of those issues.
Yeah. You will become really famous if you can turn Texas around.
No question about
if
that.
The kid or young adult that goes to UT and is the reason they get back into top 10 or top 5 status.
Live as a king forever
will be,
in Austin.
Will be Vince Young-like.
Yeah.
But I hope Quinn Ewers does it because I would like for UT and A&M to be awesome at football. That would be really cool for
A&M
our state.
A&M already has the number one recruit in the country. They just picked up the number 4 recruit in the country from Oklahoma.
By the way, Kevin, that was the Graham Harrell was quarterback in that game. 474 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about the NIL money, and I saw one person push back. It's like, oh, Texas Tech can get any kind of NIL money that Texas can. No, they can't. And this is a great example, is a new NIL program for the University of Texas, Horns with Heart, which is lovely, has secured $800,000 to launch the Pancake Initiative. It provides each offensive lineman $50,000 per year.
Worth of pancakes.
No, worth of money. And I think that is just another example of the type of money that can come into Texas.
That quickly.
As opposed to Texas Tech. Look, I'm not saying that there's no rich people that have ever been involved with Lubbock, but what is the consistent revenue stream that you've seen where they're like, we pump everything up at Tech. Is Texas Tech known for having the best facilities in the universe? Hell no, they're not. And they do not have the brand recognition that Texas has. I can admit it with Texas A&M. I hope you can admit it with Texas Tech, is they don't have the brand recognition. Could that change over the next several years or generation? Sure. But for right now, Texas generates the most money in terms of revenue.
I'm looking right now, Kevin. I have the rankings for facilities.
And I know A&M's always up there, too.
At 24/7 Sports,
that's right.
USC has the 25th ranked facilities. Texas Tech has 24th.
So they're better than USC.
Texas must be lower than 24.
I would be willing to.
TCU's at 20. Where do you think Texas is?
Top 10, easy. And I will say number 4.
Okay.
I wonder if they use that money. Do they just take it all in?
Number 11, Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Number 10, OU. Number 9, Texas.
Okay.
I thought they would have been higher. Northwestern is 8, which is wild.
Is this just football facilities?
This is football facilities, okay. Yeah.
That's
LSU is 7. Ohio State, 6. South Carolina, 5.
Wow. Clemson has to be up there. Their facilities are
A&M awesome. Is 4. Congratulations, Kevin. Super happy about where his money's going. 3 is Alabama. 2 is... Oh, I just skipped over 2.
Oregon, and one is Clemson.
And okay. this is where we need to get people to understand how big this game is. From the 214, what? Texas Tech just received a $25 million donation. The stadium is being renamed.
That's right.
Texas A&M just remodeled their stadium for $550 million.
Oh, no. The booster class is about this, right? Like, this is a whole different way of life. And yeah. I think to Kevin's point.
I'm a
point,
Texas Tech guy. Okay. I know a lot of people there. That's where I signed there. A lot of my buddies went to Tech. Ricky Williams, who I went to high school with, is obviously a big Texas Tech guy. Texas Tech fans,
worlds.
I'm for you. I'm with you. We don't come close to the money and the facilities in all sports. We have great facilities. Texas Tech fans, we have great facilities. We just can't compare to UT and A&M. If your kid ever gets good enough to go on a real recruiting trip and see all the things that they have in football and baseball. Basketball is a little bit different because A&M doesn't give two craps about basketball.
Women's basketball, like. They do.
They do have a nice gym, but like we can't compare. I'd love to tell you we can, but reality, Tech fans, and I love us. I want us to be great. We can't compare to the technology and the facilities and everything that they have compared to what we have in Lubbock.
And Apogee Stadium, Kevin, out there in Denton, $20 million deal for naming rights for Apogee. At the time, it was the second largest naming rights agreement for college football. I think it was $1 million a year, so it's like 20 years. They're just like, yeah, for 20 years, y'all can be this.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We'll let you know when rumor becomes fact, but it does sound like Ewers, the second highest rated high school scouted quarterback ever, ends up at Texas. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. And right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is ya?
Terrific, Heggy. How the heck are you?
Doing good. We had quite the spirited conversation only moments ago.
Were you licking your lips while you did it?
That's Corey. That's my fingers.
You see the
press? That's why we got this bottle of lotion that makes it look like it's my sophomore year in high school or something,
so
you know?
He stopped licking his fingers during the show.
So,
what just happened?
Oh, you know exactly what just happened. So
he was ashy then.
Oh, my God. What are y'all's thoughts about the NIL landscape in terms of maybe making it tougher for some of the smaller teams to compete? Because it looks like Quinn Ewers is going to end up at Texas because they can give him the most money.
That's one of the – I didn't hear you guys debate, so I'm sorry to whoever I'm offending here. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Oh.
It's the exact same thing as it's always been.
It's just now we're funneling the money in a different way.
Yeah, it's the haves versus the have-nots. It's what it's always been.
Yeah.
Like, which school without money has been competing and in the playoffs every year?
Well, and if they have, you find out very soon thereafter that somebody was cheating.
Yeah, they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had several people trying to explain to us that Texas Tech was a big player in the money game, and we just didn't understand.
Okay.
So
I was told, oil money.
No, I was just, I was told,
yeah, exactly.
their biggest booster just sold his tech company for $2.6 billion, and so he's going to commit all that money to Texas Tech
when Tech was really good at football. The Michael Crabtree years, I almost said it like Dion did. I was told by a higher up at Texas Tech they had taken their athletic department money to try to compete with UT, to try to compete with A&M. They said, F it. F all the other sports. We need 90% of our money into football. The only way we're going to maybe be a top 10 team in this world is if we throw all of our money into football, screw baseball, screw basketball, screw women's sports. Just let's try it for a few years, and 90% of our money has to go into football to maybe be able to compete. And they kind of did, but they screwed over the other parts of their athletic program for a few years, going, if we have a chance, let's do it. Because to Texas Tech fan, I love you. That's where I sign. That's who I hope does good. The only way we can do that and have the almost the same amount of money, and at the same time, Texas was spending the same amount of money as Texas Tech was. Texas Tech, remember, putting in 90% of their money for a few years into football. Texas was spending the exact same amount by putting 40% of their money into football.
Yeah, you know, I think it is a money thing, but I think that's what it's been. But there's been this, idea that it's amateur sports, you know, and that it should be fair while everybody's making money. And I think that sort of lie that was told to the American sports public allowed them to continue to steal the labor from the kids. So as we continuously now move on from that, what I think is an embarrassing past for college football in that way, I think, you know, things will be more about who has the most resources wins, just like every other business in an open market. You know, I think that's the way it should be.
And I'm just going back and finally, I think watching the Billy Sims 30 for 30? Like, and I'm sure it goes way, way back further.
OU?
What's that?
OU you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
About all of the money involved in college sports already when it comes to recruiting. And I'm sure it goes back far beyond that.
Oh, yeah. There was
a
time where I guess at OU they basically decided that the state of Oklahoma was going to be committed to Oklahoma University being good at football. Like, that's what happens.
Well, and back when my dad was recruited by University of Texas, there wasn't limits on scholarships. So UT had 40 baseball scholarships. Like, there wasn't UT was like, we don't care to Cliff Gustafson. You want to sign 50 kids to full scholarships for baseball? We don't care. Give 50 scholarships away. Now, obviously, there's limits now in all sports on what you can give scholarship wise. But I mean, yeah, like other schools before even Broadus's day, back in the early 70s. Like, if you had a lot of money, unlimited scholarships.
We were paying back then too in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something you had to do, though. But the thing about it was, back then, you kind of were all on the same page, though. Everybody was trying their best, and you weren't willing to turn each other in, and, you know, it's who could come up with the most money. I give SMU a lot of credit. They had the best banking system of all the schools in the Southwest Conference, the way that they were funneling money. You couldn't trace what they were doing. But SMU didn't have the best facilities, you know, still playing like they were at Texas Stadium. And you know, if you looked at their practice field, it isn't like it is now, and they've got Ford Field and stuff. But, man, they just did a great job of making sure that their players were always well taken care of. And, you know, that's the key. I think nowadays kids appreciate the money, but I think they appreciate the opportunity, especially the ones that are good, if they can get in the NFL. Mm-hmm. How quickly can you get me to the NFL? You know, how can you promote me to get in the NFL. And you see a lot of programs now, when you go into their facilities, there's a big, huge wing dedicated to first-round picks, players in the pros. You know, these college programs, they ship out gear to their players as, you know, like, hey, where are gear? You know, like, you know, well, where are LSU gear out there in the public and promote the school and stuff like that?
Just being at A&M and getting to go through the baseball facilities.
Yeah.
They have a whole hallway dedicated to all the A&M players who made the major leagues.
Right.
I mean, that's what's selling me as a five-star baseball recruit.
Right.
I need to know, are you making major leaguers here or not? Because I don't, I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
95% of us that are five-star athletes, we do not care about your school. We do not care about your education. Yeah. We care about getting to the major leagues. And if you're doing that, that's where I want to go. Also, I'd like to see success that you're probably going to College World Series because I'm going to be here for 3 years. I'd like to win a lot too. But I don't care. Like,
Ben Simmons is a great example of that at LSU.
People don't understand this that weren't great athletes. Yeah. We do not care about your school. Yeah. We do not care about your education.
Yeah.
We care about the point of where we want to get.
Attacking every listener.
We
want to
get to the NFL.
Athlete.
We want to get to the NBA. Me. And we want to get to the major leagues.
Is there a limit on NIL money that can be raised or given?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So that's the thing I'm looking at is Texas. We were talking about the Pancake Factory, and they have $800,000 this year.
Yeah.
All right. Now you go to a booster and you're like,
that
hey,
line might have been the worst they've had in a while.
We want 800,000. Yeah.
That's why they started it. They're like, we need to fix it.
We want to do this every year. Can you invest this money into a bond that's going to, or whatever? You know, however.
It's like
they
a scholarship.
Yeah. And that's like, and the schools that can collect more of those types of boosters that put that money in those pockets, it's going to benefit them. It just will. That's just, you were talking about it. The way the pony access went down. Was they had the guy
they
that
had
could run everything.
They had tremendous business men and women involved in that were able to, and you can't trace that stuff, what they were doing. And there's nobody to this day that will talk about it. I know my dad competing against them when he was at A&M, and A&M had a pretty good system too.
Yeah,
but
except for that one time.
It was tough. I mean, the car was.
You guys did all you could. You offered the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's where we were in the old Southwest Conference days. But everybody knew you could do it, and the players needed the money. The families needed the money.
And you had Houston, the head coach, handing envelopes to players and such.
Sure, sure. You put it in their shoes. You know, you put the money in their shoes. That's what you did.
So you'd have just like that tiniest bit of subtlety. So you could be like, oh, I didn't hand it to him.
I didn't hand it to him. I just put it in their shoes.
Mm-hmm. It's under their plate at the ball.
Like in the NBA and you're Robert Parrish and you forgot you put your paycheck in your sock. And then the game's over. You're like, oh, I forgot. And then you have, can you write a new check? Because I ruined this one.
I have a story about Andre Rison doing the same thing. Andre Rison came to us and clearing out his locker after the Super Bowl and goes, oh, that's where those were. He had $300,000 in his locker and three checks from Jacksonville. And he didn't even know what they were there. But he had $300,000 just sitting in his locker and didn't even know it was there.
Oh, that's a nice life.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program
TLC
today?
TLC girl.
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Nice. Brian brought us in his daily content. The Krusty's Corner is coming up at 2:40. Going to take a good look at this matchup for the first time with us, aren't we, Brian?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Brooklyn and Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Big one tonight.
All right, looking forward to more of that than the Brooklyn-Dallas game. So roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say, I love skorts, Kevin.
I will never.
Say, watching football naked, Kevin.
No, to that as well. I mean, if you want to do that, but it's not for me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.